Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Main Street DSA. I'm your host, Eric Taylor, a.k.a. The Extraterrestrial. And this evening, once again, spoke with Edna Mode, and she has sent her most esteemed guest, Matt Strebel, down to hang out with me here on Main Street and chat some DSA with you. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing quite well to say the least. It's been a very long week, birthday week, so in many ways, I'm glad it's over and very sad it's over, but we'll call it a good week. How about you?
I am doing fine. I hate my birthday more than I hate most days, to be honest. So I like to get through it. So we've done that because my birthday, as we know, was the day before yours. So we got through it. We saw on the other side, and now it's fall break. So that means I have no kids in school right now, so things are a little bit more complicated, but we'll get there. I understand. Also ready. I'm also ready to chat some DSA. So let's jump right in with the Main Street Gazette. Probably the biggest news on everybody's plate, which is funny, is Into the Unknown is coming back. So the Queen of Overpowered herself is going to be here soon.
And I'm excited. I'm not going to lie. I am excited because I did not see it coming in any possible way, shape, or form. This does not make sense to release right now, unless if there's some other mysterious reason, which could have to do with, you know, the tentative raids or the other half of Sensational Six, or, and I'm not exactly sure why, because you have a whole movie franchise themed around snow. And Disney's version of Christmas goes from November 5th through January 8th, typically. So you're about 2 weeks too early. You're doing all the spooky everythings right now. And instead, you bring out Into the Unknown. Now, personal gain, very happy because I have all of my toons ready to get a 7-star Elsa, who I use in my PvP team, and I'm excited for that. But in the aspect of the entire game, I just don't understand why right now. It doesn't make sense.
And I agree. She's earlier than I expected. My wife mains her Frozen team. And so she has been grinding her brains out to get ready for Elsa to come back. And even when I was like, yeah, Elsa's coming, after I saw the news, she was like, no, it's too soon. I'm not ready, because we thought we had longer.
I need more time.
Yeah.
That's how many people feel right now.
Yeah, because it's how many of those guys are just trapped in just Grand, right?
Olaf and Sven.
Yeah, Olaf and Sven. And one of those you just don't want to spend energy on. But I have some theories myself, because I absolutely agree. You know, it's your snow event, the Frozen Christmas short, if you've watched it on Disney Plus or wherever, is one of the best Christmas that they've done. But to me, it means a couple of things, right? Either the harebrained idea is Elsa's just scary, so we should put her in, Halloween as a thing. She is the villain of all in terms of her overpoweredness, but that is obviously not a serious reason they'd put her in October. And this plays into a little bit of the fact that our patch notes didn't have any information about the next Sensational Six event, but are we getting Elsa as a filler because it's not ready yet?
Interesting theory, considering that my personal take on the second half of what the Sensational Six event is going to be, I've been a big promoter of the idea from the original Glue ad that came out, of showing Ursula in the full version, not the little clip. You saw both Maleficent and Ursula in that ad. And technically, they've already announced Ursula in-game as an opponent. We don't know if she's going to be a playable character for us.
But she better
she is
be
someone
Glue.
That you... Oh, I know. She better be. That'd be wicked, no pun intended. But if we are still waiting on Maleficent and Ursula to be fixed, and they kind of threw us this bone for now, it also makes me worried about how are raids going to actually be executed on the first go-round. Is it going to have a lot of bugs because they're rushing it? Or is this a very oddly strategic move on the opposite end, where are they going to now say you had your chance to get Daisy, Goofy, and Donald, but if you notice the increments to each of them, every time, like, we only had a week to get Donald, but you had to get 50 tokens of him. A lot of people didn't necessarily get him the first go around. Like, I don't even have Goofy yet. Exactly. Everybody was focusing so hard on trying to get Daisy to get Goofy. And then some people said, okay, you know what? I'll invest a little bit in Goofy to get Donald. And then even if they got there, you couldn't get Donald unlocked. What if they're also setting up a time gap because these three characters you're now going to be able to farm? Are you going to be able to farm them in multiple resources? It could be a strategic move in that aspect too. I'm just personally not sure if that is me having wishful thinking, or is it a strategic move to allow more investment into these characters?
Yeah, but I am quite pessimistic in this particular instance. I think raids aren't ready, which is why we haven't seen them. I think that they have discovered either something super broken with Minnie or with Pluto, or I believe a Mickey Mouse, or with Ursula or Maleficent. And I think that they are giving us filler to take us away from the fact that we're not ready yet. And I have played enough AAA games in my life where we get bad content released that wasn't ready because people are clamoring for it. And I am being pessimistic that it's not done, but being optimistic and hoping Glue is giving Big Glue the benefit of the doubt that they're keeping it in the oven until it's cooked rather than giving us stuff that doesn't work. And so that's my hope. And the fact that we're getting Elsa at such a weird time and that patch notes were kind of meh today makes me feel like whether it's COVID, whether it's just putting a thing into the game that they weren't ready for, whatever the case is, I personally believe that they're just not ready yet and we're getting filler.
We'll see.
So content that's not filler, content that makes sense in October, the Haunted Forest PvP event continues. I have liked this. It makes PvP slightly less obnoxious to chase my chest for. It makes me feel better when I get my butt kicked a bunch of times and have to get my wins off of bots, to get my spooky tokens. I admit I wish this was Club Dungeon and this event. I wish that it was both of them rather than just the PvP. But it is good that those are going to be continuing. And they keep talking about these spooky deals. They don't give us any information about them, because why would they? I haven't paid attention to any of the purchases of free-to-play player, and someone who my gems are at an enormous premium compared to anybody who can spend money. So I hold my gems for very specific things. So I know my wife has revealed her gambling addiction with spooky coins and gems. But are we going to see them back for money again? Are we going to see something different in them? You know, what are your thoughts?
Both officially and unofficially, I'll say that I am expecting to see new offerings coming into these spooky chests, because at the time that we're recording this right now, there's still about another 4 hours before the current mini chest and the current villain's chest go away. But there's still another 10 days of spooky tokens, if you look at how it breaks down. What that tells me is that they are going to bring back new chests. They're going to bring back new things in the chests. And I hear a lot of rumor that Glue actually listened to us on one specific notion, which has to do with costumes. The fact that the only way previously that you could get Yzma's lab coat or Gaston's dress coat or Oogie Boogie in the fluorescent green was only by a purchasable pack. I'm hearing that there's a chance we may see those tokens become eligible in the spooky packs, which could bring a whole different incentive to wanting to get the spooky tokens, because now you're playing to the character. You're not playing to anything else in the game, because all three of those characters when you're in the early game are viable and it's fun to put them on. When you're in the mid or the late game, it's much less common to see Oogie, Gaston, Yzma, for example. So for me, I'm torn between two different aspects where I've restarted certain accounts and I'm looking forward to the aspect of having a new look on them by possibly wanting to get spooky tokens on the idea of me getting this very unique skin versus my late game, you know, end game account, which I'm now my top 50 characters that I'm using for Conquest. I'm not in any way, shape or form putting any of those three out there. And if I have to, it's going to be Oogie Boogie. And that's as number 50 out of 50. Barely. So I'm kind of torn if that's what they're going to throw in there, because I've been trying to debate what else could they actually throw in. They put in all of the villains. They put in what we asked for, which is a couple of tokens here, give us the ability for energy, more ways to get gold, runes, etc. What else could they put into those chests that would make us go, I want to use my resources, whether it be collected gems from ads if you're free to play, for example, or if you outright purchase gems or spooky packs, what else could you even throw in there that would make someone want to go, this is worth my investment, even on a lottery chance?
Yep. And I, you know, as someone who, you know, is free to play, I'd essentially have to have a guaranteed unlock on on a costume in order for it to be worth it, right? Because there's no way I'm going to throw my gems at a spooky coin pack to get 5 of the 50 costume tokens.
They're not going to give you 100. Yeah. There's no way. Yeah. Absolutely no way. They'll give you 25 at a time.
Yeah, and just for me, it still doesn't make the chests, like, it doesn't give me any appeal, right? Like, it just still doesn't, because as cool as they are, unless they're putting them on characters that I'm going to see, right? Like, then I can't do it, you know, because what's going to be worse than ending up down the line as a free-to-play player with 75 out of 100 tokens to put on my costume, right?
Right.
Because they're not going to put it in $25. I'm going to have to go buy $100, you know, not $100, $40 pack for 100 coins and then get 75, you know, of the, it just, it's an interesting idea. The execution is gonna really, really matter on it, or they're gonna get hammered. And I'm just,
there's gonna be pushback, absolutely. Yeah. And the biggest fear for me with it is that they've put this idea out there of, for example, the costumes. But I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and there's only so many characters that also have a recognizable second look. Mm-hmm. They already acknowledged Gaston and Yzma. I'm looking through all the villains, and there's nothing else outside of the rumor that, well, not rumor, the hope of the community that we would love to see the Jafar genie,
mm-hmm.
which would be really, really cool. And just that alone would give me such a push to want to work more on my Aladdin team to get Jafar to 7 stars so I could rock.
Yeah, but would they, that's the cool question. Look. Do they make it, I feel like the Jafar genie becomes a genie skin. I don't think it becomes a Jafar skin. I think it becomes a genie skin.
No, because Jafar turns into, genie though. Genie right. doesn't turn into
no,
the Jafar
and I,
genie.
And I agree. I absolutely agree. I just feel like the animations make more sense the other way.
You're gonna have the Jafar genie pulling a rabbit out of the hat?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
But other costumes, looking at it, there's no other real recognizable villain that I would say they have a secondary look. Maybe Davy Jones, you know, having more of that, you know,
the human
hollow
look.
We'll call it.
Yeah.
That hollow evil look to him in some way, shape, or form. But nothing, there's nothing else that they can really do.
No. I mean, and on the only ways on, you know, heroes, I feel like you could put, and the only one that comes to mind is like you put Jasmine in red. And then you get her from the end of the movie rather than in her blue.
That would be cool.
Yeah, you put Jasmine in red. Mulan's already got her costume. And I agree with you. And I feel like that's the hard part with costumes. And it's why I haven't chased them. Like, the only costumes I even want, like, if I were to get costumes, I love the Aladdin costume. And as someone whose main team is a kingdom team, my Aladdin is on the field constantly. And I love the Mulan costume. right? But
that one, I will admit, I did outreach on the Mulan costume. I thought the Ping look was fantastic. It's more battle appropriate.
Yep.
To me, that made sense of saying, you know, Sorcerer's Arena, battle, Ping, hi-ya. Like, I felt that incentive on that costume specifically because of the nature of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Putting a hula skirt on a little blue alien, I'll pass.
Yeah. I wouldn't shell out money because I'm a free to play player, but I would chase an Elsa Let It Go costume. Yes. Because in my opinion, it looks better than anything she was in Frozen 2. But that's just me. So, last thing, Triton Tower is this weekend. It seems like we're on the rotation now. So buckle up. We're going to start swapping back and forth. Be ready, and we'll feed a little bit into our later conversation about raids, but there's a lot of speculation in the community that you're going to have those characters for raid. Glue, don't do it. That will be stupid. But if there is this possibility, let's talk real quick then about Donald. I don't have Donald. I don't even have Goofy, but I know you have Donald. So talk to me a little bit about Donald, because the community is split on Donald. I have seen content creators who love Donald. Cozy did a big video on Donald over the weekend. Then I've seen other content creators who think that all of the Sensational Six kits so far are trash. So I don't have him. You've spent quite a bit of time playing with him. I know you have a duck team as a thing. Tell me a little bit about Donald in your experience.
I fully understand the split nature, because I definitely feel that way too, where there's a lot of things that I would like to do with him that I don't know if they're going to be viable in the tier of play that I'm in. If you're a mid-game player and you have the ability to get Donald, I would 100% recommend doing it. However, he is not a standalone plug-and-play tune, in my opinion. He needs at least one other tune to support him. Now, whether you put that as Daisy, who would be the natural pairing, and they already have built-in synergies within each other, I'd say, of course, you know, their kits were made for each other. So, of course, if you're going to need to put him with someone else, if you're going to put, like, the two of them with an Onward trio, or the two of them with a Frozen trio, then yeah, you could actually possibly make that work, because they have a lot of great synchronicity between the two of them. I was testing him with Dr. Facilier, taking out Daisy and putting in the Doctor. And I loved the notion of being able to control the shadow by using Peter Pan's shadow on it as well, and manipulate having that attack constantly go towards either the shadow or Donald, so that way you can also get the empowered faster, getting a heal faster, because of how it's hitting the two of them. It was a really successful pairing. But Donald as a standalone character, having two attacks and a taunt, I would probably put him at about a B, maybe a C+. But if you put him with Daisy, I would definitely say he's probably a B+ character. He's not going to be your PvP top tier player. I don't have that feeling on him quite yet. Now, I don't have that feeling yet because I'm in a PvP tier where I can't use him. So most of the time when I'm playing with Donald, I'm playing against a bot, or I'm playing against bots, whether it be in the campaign, whether it be in Club Dungeon, Sorcerer's Tournament. I'm not getting the full effect of being able to play with him live, because I don't feel comfortable with his current health pool that I could really test him to that ability. And this Kraken has lost several arms, so I can't push him that far. So it's tough for me to make a full true assessment saying that this is worth it, this is not. I love playing with him. I put him on a duck team because I have all of my ducks are roughly between 4 and 5 stars.
Would you say they're in a row?
I feel comfortable saying. Say again?
Would you say they're in a row?
I do. I do have all my ducks in a row. I will say that.
It's important that we make dad jokes on this podcast. So
yes, and I am completely okay with that. I just feel that, you know, as a duck team, if I had all five of them to 7 stars, wow, what a sick team. They are actually very good, because if you look at how Darkwing works with Gizmo for magic and crit, if you look at how Scrooge then works with Gizmo, and then you look at Daisy working with Donald, with then Donald Duck's duck leadership, especially at level 2, they're all getting 20% offense. They all hit like a truck. Yeah, that's a really viable conquest team, without a question of a doubt. I would not be surprised to later on see the Tower Mutators in Club Conquest change, where now you've got the option of putting a duck tower. Because they did it with Onward, which only has 3 characters. They did it with Tech, which has way too many. But you look at some of the smaller ones, like the Princess Tower. You've got 5 different princesses that you can, well, 6 technically, that you can use. But they all get used in very different ways. So typically, you're seeing at most 3 princesses on a team. So they're not really fully maximizing it. Mythicals is another one, the same way. There's a lot of teams that just have, here's my Frozen team and Hades on the Mythical Tower. Mm-hmm. Or they put a full Frozen team, so Olaf actually might do something for once in Club Conquest. I would love to see a Duck Tower, because now you've got the option of playing Tech, or you've got the option of playing Mickey and Friends, Sensational Six, depending on how it grows. I don't see that happening for a while, but I definitely do see it happening.
Yeah. That'd be good. I know, as a mid-game player, right, as a free-to-play mid-game player, the Sensational Six are just, they're not people I spent time on, because I can go after Big Hero 6 and be good later, for sure, right? And so it's just, they're in such a weird spot, and it will be interesting to see if they come in and we've got a really good Pluto and a really good Minnie, and, you know, depending on what we see with Mickey Mouse as a thing, like if we get this super powerful Mickey Mouse that's a legendary character, because in my opinion, if Mickey's going to be in the game, he's got to be legendary because he's the face of the entire company. Then all of a sudden, I feel like there's a group of people who are kicking themselves over S6. But for right now, the Sensational Six event has been kind of a flop for me personally as a thing. I haven't cared. You know, and even the idea that maybe they won't end up farmable. I mean, I feel like I agree with you, they will, but even if they don't, like, okay, I'll get them the next time they come around, right? Like, I just, they don't hold the value for me yet. We'll see.
I mainly fear that the Sensational Six event will continue in the same pattern as it has in the first 3. And what I mean by that is, to get Daisy unlocked versus Goofy versus Donald, the token requirement of how you unlock them was at 2, 3, and 4 stars. Does this mean that Pluto and Minnie, or and potentially
five,
another
six,
Mickey
and
Mouse,
seven,
will they only be able to be unlocked at those further stars?
I just,
if that happens, man, dude, that would be such a horrible flop, and Mickey would then become the ultimate
whaling,
mm-hmm. Yeah, whaling character, that if you have them anywhere in the first 6 months,
yeah,
considering how often they bring the events back, that would probably be proof of whaling,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, and I, and
hey,
I, yeah, I 100% believe that's how it's going to be. Like, I absolutely believe that Mickey will come into the game at legendary. He will come into the game requiring the full tokens that, like, Maleficent requires, and you ain't getting them if you don't spend money. I just, it's absolutely how in my brain this has played out since it was announced.
And there's also another turn on it where I kind of like the notion, but only if they make the characters farmable. If they then said, you know, say 2 weeks from now that they come out with Sensational Six Part 2, and then they say, okay, you've also had 2 weeks now to farm Donald, Daisy, mm-hmm. and Goofy. And now you have to get up to 80 tokens, and you have 3 weeks, because they'll release all 3 at the same time again. You have 3 weeks to get Donald. then you're looking at a possible viable thing. The only other twist that I could see to it is plays into my theory that we're not getting Mickey Mouse, right, that we already have two mice, and that when it comes out, what if we get Donald again and then Pluto and Minnie? Mm-hmm. Because then you've got the five villains evenly matched up from the ad. So there's that option in there too. There's so many different, you know, tinfoil hat things that you could do with this. I'm just hoping that whatever they decide something that makes just a little bit of sense, where afterwards we go, now I see what you were doing. Okay. And now I want to play, rather than really, that's what you did. Do I get rid of my account?
And I have seen threats of that recently from people over things, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But so let's stay on Sensational Six really quick. Where are the other two? We were told October was the month of Sensational Six, right when we started our pilot of this podcast a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't in patch notes. You and I were both expecting, as soon as this goes away, to get the next ones.
Yeah.
Where are they?
I said it at 3 o'clock today during my first stream. I said, we will have Notion and information on either Minnie or Pluto. Now, I would be ecstatic to wake up tomorrow and just see it. And then they decided strategically to not put it in the patch notes to let us know, here's who's coming. I would be thrilled if that was the case. But I also think it's wishful thinking, because from a marketing point of view, if you did it that way intentionally, or did it like they did where they put it on another website, they put it on like the Little Mermaid Facebook page, and then they showed that ad, and then everybody, you know, went stir crazy over it. If they had done something like that, like released that tonight also with a patch notes that were hollow, that would have been really smart marketing, because it gets you intrigued into a variety of different avenues of how do you stay connected to the game. Is it not just through the patch notes that you can see in game, or are you on the Discord, or are you on the Facebook page, or are you on Twitter? How are you connecting? Oh, you think you're connected, but this got released here.
Yeah, I would hate that.
Speaking
as a player, I would hate it.
I love it, though. I love the idea that when people discovered the Little Mermaid page had this promo with Ursula, that the whole community went, wait, what? All of us were on our toes going, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. What are they doing? Hold on. We all thought about it differently because it released somewhere no one was expecting to find it.
Yeah.
I never would have said, I need to look here.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. Don't think I haven't looked for
everywhere.
Every Facebook Mickey Mouse associated, Minnie Mouse associated, Pluto associated page this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I checked. There's nothing.
Yeah.
I looked at Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. I looked for everything. And I could not find anything that had an accidental preview or a Notion advertising the game. I had found an ad photo that came up of Sorcerer's Arena, but it was in regards to raids. And the only thing that was different about it was the same preview as Ursula that had, I think it was, if I remember correctly, Ariel, Stitch, Mickey, and Jack Sparrow, but this one also had Sully. And I couldn't really tell myself, yeah, this was worth something or not. I was hoping to see something like that possibly today, once patch notes came out too. I'm sitting at the dinner table all over Facebook looking for other things too, because that's where they released it. So I was hopeful.
So it'll be interesting to see why it's not here. I feel a little bit misled. Speaking as the one who writes our show notes, I definitely pulled up patch notes this evening and was definitely let down. I was like, do I make a show with this? Let's jump back a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more about the Elsa event. We covered some of it earlier, but we did have a little bit more speculation on why it's so early. And one of my theories is raid timing interference. They don't want Frozen and raid in at the same time. for, you know, they want the focus to be on their raids. And so there is some level of that. Elsa is still regarded by a lot of people as one of the most powerful characters in the game, if not the most powerful character in the game. So everyone is waiting for bated breath for her to come back, unless, you know, your Pi or your Barstool or your some of our friends who have spent a ton of money and already have them, you know, they're waiting. You don't want to have that audience split. You want raids to come out by themselves, and you want raids to be exciting. The other thing is, because the speculation I was seeing is that it would be back end of November, was based on the calendar and the timing people were speculating, mid-end of November. My speculation is, are we getting holiday events that would then interfere with Frozen as a thing? These kind of games frequently have, you know, these ongoing perpetual kind of games frequently have those kind of events in them, generally based on wherever your publisher is located. Glue's located here in the U.S., so U.S. holidays would apply. I could see holiday events being in the way. My speculation is it's still we're getting filler because they weren't ready, but benefit of the doubt, holiday events or raid timing interference.
I think with the holiday events, the pool that Disney has to pull from for this game, like Disney content, I should say, that Glue would be pulling from, is very different versus the pool from Halloween because of the villains aspect. You know, as someone who worked in Walt Disney World, there was a lot more material based on Disney's content because of the villains that when you do a Halloween spectacular or an event or a show, there's a huge amount of material to pull from, I think is the safest way to word it. With Christmas, you know, even talking Frozen, it's just because there's a lot of snow and there's a snowman, a talking snowman that they actually have rights to. So pushing that notion, what else animation-wise outside of holiday specials, what else could they really push forward? And unless if they're going to give us maybe some holiday layover, kind of like the takeover for PvP right now with the spooky layout, I could see them doing that because comparatively the programming versus new characters or versus a new costume, programming's a lot simpler because they can also use material they currently already have. And then even costume-wise, Jack Skellington's the only one who has a Christmas costume already applied to him, so you can guarantee that that's going to come at some point. It could even come during next week, during, well, tomorrow, I should say, for us. It could come out, and we could see that as part of the tokens, which I had not even thought about until you're talking about Christmas. But that you will definitely see during the holiday time. Outside of that, it's really not a huge pool of material to pull from. Maybe the Sensational Six, you could pull the...
some costumes.
You know, yeah, you could pull the costumes for them. But off the top of my head, there's really not too much into the character world where you can even say, here, here's a new event with new characters. We're coming out with you.
Yeah,
it's a lot of layover. It's a lot of special. It's a lot of pre-existing material.
And in my head, that's all I was actually thinking, was a reskin of the logo, the same way we got for Halloween, reskin of the UI, because that's all basic. And then you got an asset. And then the only thing I could see, because it's, again, something that I have seen in other games, is stuff that gets mixed up. So all of a sudden we're farming... because they have all the levels. All you got to do is change your little spreadsheet and change your... you know, I know coding is harder than that, but you know, change your requirements. And all of a sudden, it's just like, bam. And all of a sudden, we get these mixed up events because it's this Christmas mayhem event kind of thing. And that would be cool. I don't think Glue will do it, but I try to give them a benefit of the doubt on why we're getting weird things happening. So... you know, Elsa being back so early is weird. But let's take a second. We're going to do our quick. I'm going to change the order in show notes on you really fast because one of these things is faster than the other. So we're going to do our weekly raid speculation segment here because we still don't have any information. So we have carte blanche. It got brought up today in my Juice Boxes stream about the idea that that there's a delay on the two other Sensational Six because there's related to raids and that with all this nonsense, right? I don't engage in the data mining aspect of this game. I haven't engaged in the data mining aspect of any game that I play. I just avoid it personally. But it brought to mind the idea of Triton and Eric being the only characters who have raid mentioned in their kit. I don't want raids to have required characters to play them. I personally think raids having required characters to access is a really stupid design idea. I feel it limits who gets to go in and do raids, and I think personally it eliminates the fun of solving the puzzle with the team that you have and picking and choosing your characters to do it. What are your thoughts on the concept of, are we going to see raids require certain characters?
I think it'll actually be a good thing if they lay it out the right way. For example, if you go to do a certain node or a certain mission or a certain task, and it tells you, you can only use downtown heroes, and they use categories, then I think you've got a winner on your hands. Because then it allows the club to discuss, all right, we need to, for all of us to move on, we need Oceanics up to a certain level on here, but you can only use your attackers once. Who's got 4-star Oceanics? And now you're working with your club to create, okay, you 5 people, you're going to go do this. And you 6 people, hold on to your Oceanics because once you use it, you can't use it on a further node. If you did something like that, then it would be really cool.
Yeah, and I can see that.
Now you have to work with the club aspect. And that's one mm-hmm. of the things that the community has really been striving for the most is more club-related tasks. And I know Raids is going to bring that to the party. But how it brings it to the party is so important. Yep. I've heard several people say, if this becomes a thing where the top 10 clubs in the game can defeat the entire thing the first time through, you're going to lose 10% of that community, and that's a lot of money down the tube.
Mm-hmm.
Because people want to have their butts kicked. They want to play hard. They want a challenge. And if you release raids, if you do it right and you really want to make it a challenge, increase the level cap at the same time. Put everything out all at once. Give us up to level 80. You messed up with spooky coins and it stopped everyone at level 70. Now everyone's only at 70. If you think you could actually complete the entire raid, but you actually have to defeat an Ursula who's level 80, gear tier 8, nobody in any club whatsoever is going to have a shot at doing that right now based on the max abilities of your rosters. You've got the highest I've seen so far for a deck power on one team is 5,100, which is insane. That's with 15% stones, gear tier 7.5, maxed out. Everything is maxed out. You're at a 5,100 team.
Including that person's credit card.
That too. Imagine the credit score. So put it all together. Now you go up and like, yeah, we got it, final level. Here's Ursula, gear tier 8, level 80. Surprise! You get walloped. All of a sudden, that trickles down into the community, and I think everyone will be relieved to not use a comparison to the world right now, but sometimes it's nice to see the top 5%.
We lost guest. Guest just froze out on me. Yes, I agree. What he was going to say is it'd be nice to see the top 5%, you know, get hammered and get some of their own back. And I absolutely agree. Just a minute here. I And I'm going to wait and see if Guest gets back, but I'll fill in a little bit. I think that it would be really, really great to, you know, I hadn't thought about the map and the different levels you have to pass through to get to the final boss and them requiring certain things. I do think that would be awesome. I think it would be great to be like in my club, for instance, hey, extraterrestrial, you've got this really solid kingdom team. You go and handle these levels, you know, those kind of things. I do agree with that. Give me just one second here. For those of you in stream, I apologize. We're going to get some wonkiness when I close this. I'm going to be all goofy looking. But see if we can get Guest back.
Sorry about that.
It's all good. You are back now. And I need
there we go.
To fix our
where did I lose out? I don't even know.
The top 5% doing, and then you froze in the middle of that statement.
Yeah, no worries. So the top 5% want to have their butt kicked. They want to work hard. They want to play hard. And if the game releases raids the right way, they will. They will show that you cannot do this on the first go around. Other things are going to happen first. A level 80 cap will have to come into play. The full release of gear tier 8 will have to come into play. Something for people to still continue to farm and work hard towards. And I love that certain characters will have pieces that you can only get in raid. I think that that's something that will really, if released right, conditionally, I think is the big asterisk on all this. Mm-hmm. If they release it as character groups to do certain missions and tasks rather than specific characters, you have a successful raid concept.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. And I like that. I like the idea of, I'd forgotten about the whole map, go around the map, work your way to the boss concept that occurs in these games. And I think the idea of my club being able to say, hey, ET, I know you have a really strong kingdom roster. There's this kingdom level. I know you can't handle X, Y, or Z thing, but your kingdom team can totally do this. Go hit this. And that would be, I like the idea of needing to have these coordinated strikes in order to be successful. I think that if they could do that, then that's going to make raids go a little bit better. So last topic, we'll jump into this unnamed segment, but we're going to talk about some things that we feel the game needs in order to stay healthy and in order to improve, you know, quality of life things, feature things, those kind of things. And we're going to do this every week. We'll just pick one topic and talk about it briefly as things we want to see either added or changed or whatever. And this week we're going to talk about rewards and the way the exchange works. So for me, the three things on this list are club dungeon rewards, as well as the club coin exchange and the Sorcerer's Tournament coin exchange. I feel that club dungeon rewards are incredibly stale at this point when you hit the end of your club dungeon. And that said, as a free-to-play player who hasn't been around that long, but I just don't care about spending money to upgrade, die, and trigger. And in addition, I'm not at the point yet where I'm just spending my tokens on gear. But I know there are players who are. I'm still spending things on, on my Mickey for my kingdom team. I'm still spending things on Anna for my frozen team and the other one because my Shan Yu is capped. But what would you like to see? I know you talked about this on one of your streams earlier today, but what are your thoughts on seeing these kind of things change up and how would you change them up? And importantly as well, how often would you change them up?
I think the one that needs the biggest refresh is the club exchange, because as you transition from right in the middle of the game, middle of mid game, the second you start to get to that top 50% of what the game could potentially do for you, you start to realize certain characters in the club exchange are just not worth your time and your effort anymore. And you begin the transition of deciding, should I use all of my club coins for just gear, or are there certain characters that I should finally finish off? The only character I would say is 100% worth the investment of your club coins right now is Kristoff. Kristoff, you've got to max out if you want to get Elsa. He's a great tank that you can get very early in the game and then continue to get regularly throughout the game because of his accessibility in the club exchange. And if I remember correctly, he also has two nodes on top of that. So you could be running upwards of, if you do enough refreshes and you're in a good club, you could be doing 10 plus tokens per day and have him maxed out literally in a month, which is insane. On the opposite,
what my wife did.
Right. On the opposite end of it, you have tunes like Yzma, Hopper, and the only exclusive character is Baloo. The fact that these are how they've pushed the club tokens for tunes is unfortunate. Because as you get to that mid-year point, that mid-tier point, you start to realize Gaston is no longer viable for you. Yzma is no longer viable for you. Hopper is no longer viable for you. You're debating about what kind of kingdom team you're going to run, and is Mickey continually going to be viable for you? Sully is slow at this point. Is he going to be viable for you? Jack Sparrow, you can make an argument for. Even Captain Hook, since the update, you could also make an argument for on a secondary Oceanic team. Syndrome, I mean, Edna gave me permission to talk about him because typically we don't like to discuss him, but he has an okay kit and he helps out a lot of villains, obviously, with his leadership. That's not even half. So you start that transitional switch. Like, I stopped farming Mickey about 3 months ago. Once I got him to gear tier 5 stars, I stopped because I didn't feel the need to use him anymore. I was instead deciding I was going to push on Robin Hood. And then only now, with the Sensational 6, did I say I need to reinvest in him and finish him to 7 stars, and I'm very close now. But it slowed down my gear tier farming tremendously because I'm using 4,000 to 8,000 a day trying to get him up to gear tier 7. 7 stars. I want him maxed out because we don't know what's going to happen with this Sensational 6 group. I just want to be ready. That's just me personally. There's a lot of work that could be done within the club exchange. They could be adding in new tunes. They could do this with the Sorcerer's Tournament exchange as well. There need to be new, fresh faces. In the club exchange, you have only 10 possible tune characters. And I think in Sorcerers, if I'm looking, 15 in there. I would love to see some interflexibility between the two. I'd love to see gear into the Sorcerer's Exchange, Sorcerer's Tournament Rewards Exchange, and I would love to see different tunes, specifically, in the Club Coin Exchange. Where's Go-Go? Where's Scrooge? Where are these tunes that you now are going to need to build some of these other potential meta rosters? You put Kristoff in there. You put Ana in there in the Sorcerer's Tournament one. Why aren't we doing this with other groupings?
Yeah.
Because we've had so many tunes come out since launch, and they gave us a small little refresh when they introduced Ana and Kristoff into it. That's it. Sorcerer's Tournament, less of a problem with. There's decent tunes, at least in the Sorcerer's Tournament. There are still some you could probably take out, but I'd say more than 3/4 of them are actually worth investing into. You've got Big Bad Wolf in there. You've got Ana in there. You've got Hades, Sean Yu, Merlin. I mean, there's a lot of great tunes in there to take your time farming. Now, I mean, we've all taken advantage of Ariel being in there. You know, I did. I wanted to make sure I had her maxed out once we noticed that Triton was coming down the line and Eric was coming down the line. Everybody started reinvesting in her, and I finished her to 7 stars in that. And I could, because she's a decent tune from the very beginning of the game. And now there's even more reason to invest into her. So I didn't mind that.
Yep.
I'd love to see gear in the tournament exchange. And I'd love to see different tunes in the club exchange specifically. With Club Dungeon, with what you were referring to with the rewards, I would like to see outside of, you know, Trigger and Infinity Die, I think it would be more viable if they just gave us a large chunk or a tiered amount of spell token rewards. Mm-hmm. If they were to give us, you know, here's, you got up to this level, here's 12,000 for the tower exchange, enjoy. Or 13 or 14 or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, to me, then now you're focus farming or just using the random spell packs, which is what I do, in masses and redeeming to get, you know, potentially exactly what you want rather than Trigger.
Yep. Absolutely. And I agree with you. I think that for Club Dungeon, that's how I would do it, is I would just, rather than need a constant refresh, because the club coins are always going to be great. They're always useful, at least on gear, as we just discussed. But just getting a big bunch of tower tokens, spell tokens from completing your dungeon at the end of the week, you know, tiered off for how far you got, would be great. And then I agree. I would like to see a shuffle of what's in those exchanges. I don't want to see just more added in, but I want to see them.
Agree.
I want to see them changed up. And I say that as someone who has stuff in there that I'm still spending them on, but I would like to see them changed up some. But
I have to interrupt though, because mm-hmm. I do like one specific idea kind of spinning off of that. Mm-hmm. I would like to see the tunes that, you know, for yourself and for others who are free to play players, it takes you a long time to get to some of the characters that you can only farm after level 50. And once you get really far into looking for Pocahontas, looking for Shere Khan, looking for Jack Skellington, I'd love to see those as not so exclusive, because they're not exclusive to just that. But if you're choosing to farm them, you can't further farm those characters on a node until you get to a certain level. But if you really want to use your resources on these instead, go for it. I'd like to see that inverse flip-flop of how you can choose to farm, because some of those characters, they're great characters. You know, Shere Khan specifically is a great tune. I'd love to be able to get him before level 50 mm-hmm. without having to whale out to potentially have it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the exchange being designed in such a way that it allows you to farm characters that aren't available till later game would be a great idea as well. Well, with that, we are going to head on out of here, get everybody back to where they are. It's getting late. And we're out of things to talk about because patch notes were shallow. But I have been your host, Eric Taylor, a.k.a. The Extraterrestrial. You can find me on Twitter at @ET_gamingYT. You can search Extraterrestrial Gaming on YouTube. And you can find my Twitch right here, twitch.tv/aka extraterrestrial. I don't have a set streaming schedule because life is a thing. And I stream when I can. And the only scheduled stream is here Wednesday nights to do this podcast. And then we'll jump on over to Matt. And you can tell us a little bit about your deal and where we can find you on the internet.
Yeah, easiest way to find me right now is live on Twitch. I try to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, put out at least 5 streams a week. Typically 1 in the afternoon, 1 in the evening. You can follow me at twitch.tv/edna_mode_and_guest. We have a giant Discord community. Everything is accessible through the Twitch site right now. That is the easiest way for me to communicate. I do Disney Sorcerer's Arena. If you're listening to this on launch day on Thursday, that means tonight I'll be doing my first Among Us stream, trying out some new things, trying to build a community in a different way, not just DSA.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, we're going to get on out of here. If you haven't done so and you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and click that follow button, the subscribe button. Sorry, it's YouTube. Go ahead and click that subscribe button. Tap that bell to make sure you're notified whenever we're in orbit with a video. Share the podcast with a friend. There's lots of people playing DSA and not that many people listen to our podcast yet, so we should get more people listening to our podcast because it's good and you should point them in that direction. But until next time, I have once again been Eric Taylor, a.k.a. The Extraterrestrial, on behalf of the guest, Matt Stribble. Good night. Good luck. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And peace on Earth, Earthlings. Bye, everybody.